What's that? Yeah. Okay. So tonight we're going to start a two-week series, and it's called A Changed Life, and we're going to go over the story of Paul. And so obviously the Apostle Paul is, you know, yes, exactly. Judah agrees. Yeah, the Apostle Paul, we could spend, years going over his life and what he wrote. And obviously, I've got 2 weeks, so this is going to be kind of a flyby. We're not going to get into his doctrine. We're not going to get into everything that he preached. I just kind of want to go over what his life looked like and hopefully encourage and maybe some of you convict. Sorry about that, but that's God, not me. Don't be mad at me. But just kind of go over what Paul's life looked like. And I think if I were to ask you, and I've learned after the last several months that if I ask you guys, even though half of you have been in church your whole life and know the answer, you just kind of stare at me. So if I were to ask you like what Paul was, who he was, what he did, if I asked you right now, you would all stare at me and no one would answer. So I will come up and say exactly what you would answer. And if we said, hey, who's Paul? You know, what did Paul do in the Bible, and what kind of guy was he? Most of you would say he was probably one of the most popular and probably most influential Christians of all time. We'd probably say that he was a great man of God. We'd say he wrote most of the New Testament. In fact, he wrote 13 books of the Bible. Some would say he even wrote Hebrews, so maybe it's 14. And so we would say that of the books of the Bible he wrote, those are the books that the church is supposed to use for its doctrine, and he's got all kinds of life applications that you can use, and that's who Paul was. And a lot of times we forget what Paul was the first time we saw him. We forget what he was doing and who he was. And so I want to start at the very beginning of the story, and I just want to talk about who Paul was and what he was up to when we first see him. And so with that, your first point is Paul's past mistakes did not stop the Lord from using him. And so we all picture Paul sometimes as this perfect, great guy, and he was, and he did great things for the Lord, but he didn't start out that way. In fact, if you go back a little bit before Paul was mentioned, you have a story of Stephen. And Stephen was telling people about Jesus, and he was converting people, and people were becoming Christians. And the religious leaders of the day, they hated that. And so they took him and they brought him before the high priest, the religious ruler of the day, and a bunch of the other religious leaders. And so they started questioning him. And Stephen basically chapter 7 of Acts, if you want to read it. But to make a long story short, Stephen basically rebuked him. And he basically told them what they were doing wrong, and they didn't like it. And so they got so angry with him, this is kind of crazy, they started gnashing their teeth and biting him. So, I've never been, mad enough to actually bite somebody. Like, my three-year-old has, and he does it frequently. But I've never actually been so mad at someone that, I've wanted to bite them. And so, if that wasn't bad enough, they took him outside of the town, and they picked up, some big rocks, and they started stoning him. And I've never been mad enough to really throw stones at someone, let alone throw it so many times that you do it till you kill them. And so you say, well, why are we talking about Stephen if we're going to talk about Paul's life? Well, Acts 8:2 says this, in Saul, and before we continue on, Saul is Paul, it's the same thing. In Acts 13:9, it says in Saul, and then talks about, and also called Paul, and you're pretty much calling Paul the rest of the Bible. And so it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And so when it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, they're talking about in chapter 7 of Acts, Stephen's death. And so Paul was consenting. Paul was there and was giving permission. The Bible says Paul consented to it. It says that Paul was willing participant in the stoning of Stephen. In fact, in other places in the Bible, it would say that Paul held their coats. And so Paul was there, and Paul was all about persecuting the Christians and killing Christians, the great Paul. And so at this time, Paul would have been one of the religious leaders. He would have been one of the guys who, grew up, and he was a Pharisee, so he would have learned a lot of the Old Testament. He probably would have known the first five books he would have memorized all those books. He would have known all this stuff. He would have been the guy who would have, on the outside, would have done everything that the religious leaders of the day said. He would have done all that stuff. And I want to point out, guys, that just because he did all that stuff, and this is in your notes, knowing the Bible and going to church does not always mean you have a relationship with the Lord. And I think, especially in America, you know, you talk to a lot of people and they're like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, okay, so, you know, you've accepted the Lord as your Savior. Well, no, you know, I'm a good guy. I go to church. I was baptized when I was younger, or I've done this, or I've done this work. And it all becomes this, well, I've done something. I've done some work to get to the Lord. And that was what Paul was doing. That was Paul's entire life at this point. He knew a lot about the Lord. He knew a lot about the Bible, but he, at this point, never had a relationship with Jesus. He never gave his life to the Lord. And so as Paul's doing this, you can read in Acts 9:1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughterings against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So if it wasn't enough to be at Stephen stoning, Paul, it says that Paul was threatening people and he was slaughtering them. Paul was a murderer. Paul killed Christians. I mean, that's how Paul started his life. I mean, it's crazy to me that the guy who we would say is one of the most influential Christians of all times started out murdering Christians. And like, when you think about this, when you really start reading about this, what do you think God thought of this? Do you think God was happy that this was happening? Do you think God was like, wow, okay, Paul, I'm just going to like keep letting you do this and I'm not going to think anything of it? No, I'm sure God was angry. God was frustrated about how Paul was acting. And you know, and the worst part is Paul did it under the guise of him being a Pharisee, being a religious leader. So he would be saying, hey, I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. And it wasn't at all what the Lord wanted him to do. In fact, Paul was exactly what Jesus described in Matthew 23:27. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. And so Paul looked real good on the outside. Paul did he checked all the boxes. He said, yeah, I know the Bible. I do all the things that the religious leaders want me to do. But on the inside, he was dead. He didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And the only thing that can save you is that relationship with the Lord. And the crazy thing about all this is that even though, you know, Paul was killing and murdering Christians and persecuting them and you know, the people that God loves, the crazy thing is God eventually forgives them. You know, God still offers forgiveness to them. And so I want you guys to realize that no matter what you're doing in life, no matter what you've done, God can forgive anyone. He can change anybody. And so oftentimes you give the gospel and you talk to people and they will say, you know, yeah, I want to do that, but I really have to clean my life up. I really need to straighten my life up. I need to be a better person. I need to work my way a little bit closer to Jesus. And that's not what it's all about. So often we talk and people will say, well, you know, I've just done so many bad things in my life that, you know, the God, the holy God of your Bible, he can't save me. And that's a real thing that Satan, you know, will tell us. And the thing is, and you guys know this, life's crazy and it doesn't take too many bad choices. Sometimes it's only one choice before you completely screw up your life. Things can go downhill quickly and a lot of people do it. And Satan will tell you, you know what, guys, you can't recover from this. You can't be saved. And if you're a Christian, he'll tell you, you know what, you've screwed up one too many times. God doesn't want to have a relationship with you. You can't be like all these people you read about in the Bible. You can't be like a Pastor Kale or a Pastor Jeff. God's not going to be able to use you. And that's why I like the story of Paul. That's why when you just read just about Paul, it's crazy that God can use a guy who was murdering Christians at one point. And we're going to see this week and next week how God used him greatly and how God used him to spread the gospel throughout all of the world, really. And we're talking about him today, like 2,000 years later. And this was a guy who started out very poorly in life. And so, you know, like I said, in my mind, and so I'm just going to let you into my mind a little bit. In my mind, we read Acts 9:1-2. Acts 3 would read something like this. And Paul, on his way to Damascus, his horse got spooked, his foot got stuck in a saddle, he fell off, and he hit his head off a stone, and he died. And that's the end of Paul. Like, I think whenever you think about what he was doing and how he was hurting the God's people, and like, at me as a human, if someone would come to Casey and someone would hurt her, someone would hurt my kids, like, the nice guy that I like to think that I am would probably go out the window. If someone hurt my wife and I got to stand in front of them, I don't care how big you are. I don't care, you know, how good of a fighter you are. It's on. Like, I'm probably going to fight you. And I got friends in this room that I've grown up with and friends I've gotten very close with. And if someone hurts them or their families, I'd like to say that, you know, we're going to have a conversation. I'm going to try to calm you down, and we're not going to live in the flesh, but I'm probably going to want to fight someone because you're hurting my friends. You're hurting my loved ones. You're hurting my family. And so God had every right to just strike down Paul. God had every right to really strike down any of us, but he doesn't. And an amazing verse as I was just going through this and reading, Psalm 78:38 says, "But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath." And you know what? God is full of compassion. God's full of mercy, even though we don't deserve it. And he forgives our iniquities all the time. Like, God is always willing to forgive us. The problem is that a lot of times we don't even ask him. A lot of times we never go to God and say, "Man, I'm sorry, will you forgive me?" And we're willing to live in sin and doubt and fear and depression and whatever it is, because we never just go to the Lord, who is full of mercy. God will always forgive us. God is always there. You know, some of you guys went to camp and you guys made life-changing decisions and you're ready to fight the battle. And some of you came home and you've already lost the battle. You've already lost your battle because you got off the bus. And what happened? What's your three enemies? This is where you participate. Good job. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Brill Hart kind of said it. I heard her. So, like, we'll give you credit. So you at least said three things, I think. So you were right. So, yeah, you got off the bus, and Satan was there waiting, and the world was there waiting, and your flesh was there waiting, wasn't it? And it's really easy to name your battles at camp, but it's a little bit harder whenever you get home and step off the bus and you go home to your family, or you go home to your friends, or you go home to whatever maybe addiction that you're struggling with. It's hard to fight it when you get home, and maybe you've already failed. And one of the things Satan will say, and I know this because he said it to me, if you heard my testimony at camp, this is one of the things I struggle with whenever I fell into sin. I always thought God couldn't use me. God doesn't want to save me. And that's an easy thing to think, but it's not true. We just read a verse that tells us that about his compassions, and that he's full of compassion and he forgives our iniquities. Lamentations 3:22 and 23 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And that can be a familiar verse, but guys, isn't it amazing? And praise the Lord that we have a God that his mercies are new every single morning. No matter what we do, if we go to him and we do what 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Like, if we're willing to go to the Lord and we're willing to repent from our sins and we really want to change our lives, man, God's there to forgive us. God's there to let us start over. God will give us a second and a third and a fourth chance. God is always there. And guys, his mercies are new every single day. Every morning he's there and he wants to talk to us. Every morning he's willing to forgive us. And so whenever when you start thinking that, you know what, I messed up too many times and God doesn't want anything to do with me, that's not true. God is oftentimes just waiting for us to run to him. God will forgive anything. God didn't die on the cross. And I've said this before, he didn't die on the cross, you know, just for certain sins. He didn't die on the cross and you know, want you to have a relationship with him and say, "Well, I'm only going to forgive these sins, but over here, those are too big for me." Nothing's too big for our God. And he will forgive us. And we have to believe that. And if you don't know 1 John 1:9, I encourage you to memorize it. I encourage you to be able to say it off the top of your head. Anytime you start thinking that, man, I'm not good enough for God, maybe you're thinking that obviously because you've done something. Maybe you just need to get your heart right and you need to confess your sins and confess what you've been doing to the Lord, and he's going to forgive us and he's going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so the next thing we're going to talk about in Paul's life was point two. Paul had an encounter with the Lord that changed his life. And so Acts 9:3-9 says, "And he journeyed. He came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. If it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. And he led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. So the Lord came and spoke to Paul. And you know what? At this point, Paul had a real encounter with the Lord. This wasn't like a camp emotional encounter. This was a real, genuine encounter with the Lord. And so the Lord told him to do something. The Lord told him to go into the town and to wait. And so what did Paul do? Paul actually listened to the Lord, and he went in and he waited. And so if there's something you need to do in your life, it's kind of simple. If you want to start following the Lord, and this is in your notes, if you want to start following the Lord, you're going to have to be obedient to what he is telling you to do. You know, every one of us, no matter if you're doing good with the Lord or you're struggling with your relationship with the Lord or you're not even saved, there is a next step. There's something the Lord wants you to do. And you have to be obedient and be willing to take that next step. You know, some of you guys, like I said, you came, went to camp, you came back, and you're struggling with something. And right now, like, the Lord's not going to come down and blind you. The Lord's not going to come down and start talking to you out of, like, this magical voice. That's not how the Lord works now. That ends in Acts. But, you know, whenever you're reading your Bible or you're praying or you're sitting through a message like this or you just got back from camp and you heard Tony, and you know that little voice inside of you that says, hey, that's you. And all of a sudden you start thinking about something. You start thinking about something that you're struggling with, or you start thinking about, well, maybe I should go talk to someone about this. Well, guess what? That's God. That's not me. That's not Kale. That wasn't Tony. That was God. And so whenever you hear that and whenever you start thinking about those things, when you're listening to a message or you're reading your Bible, you have a choice. We all have choices. And you can either go talk to someone about it, or you can just cry out to God and ask for forgiveness, or you can walk out the door and you can just go about your life. We all have those choices. I hope you don't do that. I hope you don't walk out the door and not listen to the Lord. But you have that choice. You have that right. And, you know, if there's something that you guys are struggling with, I encourage you, talk to a counselor. Like, we're not just here to be goofballs. I mean, we're here to help you guys. We're here to hang out with you guys. We're here to love on you guys. We're here to help you. So if there's something you're struggling with, come talk to us. We're more than willing to help you. But there's also another story, or another person in this story of Acts 9. And I don't have time to read Acts 9, 10 through 17. I think it's probably going to be up there, but we're not going to read through it all. But there's a guy named Ananias. And so the Lord comes and he says, you know, Ananias, so you need to go talk to Paul. I need you to go have a conversation with him. And, you know, Ananias responds a lot like me, and you would have responded like, what? Are you kidding me, God? Wait a second. In fact, Acts 9, 13 and 14 says, and then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints of Jerusalem. And here he have authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. So Paul's reputation precedes him. Everybody knows who Paul is. Paul, you know, Ananias isn't surprised that, you know, Paul is you know, where Ananias knows that Paul's an evil dude. And so all of a sudden God's saying, hey, you need to go talk to him. And so Ananias is like, no, that's not going to happen, God. Are you sure about this? I don't think that I want to do this. And the Lord says, yeah, man, you need to go talk to him. And this is my own version, so you should probably go read this. But and eventually Ananias goes. And so some of you guys know where I'm heading with this. We all have people in our life that we need to tell about the Lord. And some of us do a good job at telling our friends, but there's always that one or two people in your life or in your school that sometimes God lays on your heart to tell, but you're not going to tell them because, you know what, that guy's the Paul in your life. That guy's the guy who's going to make fun of you, guy or girl. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to make your life hard. They're going to, you know, turn some of your friends against you. There's a lot of consequences to talking to that guy. I mean, let me encourage you. He's probably not going to kill you or throw you in jail. That was the risk Ananias had. I mean, that was literally the chance Ananias took when he went to talk to Paul. But the Lord's telling you to talk to someone. And I get it, guys. I know. I know there's always those people who you think, man, they're not going to listen. They're not going to listen to me. They don't want to hear about God. And there's all of the people in your school who are making fun of God and who want nothing to do with God. And so, you know, I ran into this the other day. So my friend Brenton, he actually has an awesome opportunity. He goes out to Huggins basketball camp. I think it's actually East Ohio basketball camp. I didn't know that until the other day. But anyways, not really the point of the story. He goes out, and about 10 o'clock at night, he stands in front of about 60 or 70 kids, and he's able to give the full gospel. And so the first night we were there, there was that one kid. Oh, hey, what are we doing? Well, you know, we're going to talk about the Bible and talk about Jesus. Oh. And so he walks off, and you hear him say, oh, man. He's like, I'm an atheist. I don't want to talk about Jesus. And he starts making fun of God. He's that guy. He's the guy that we all need to go talk to, but nobody wants to because he's going to make fun of you and God. And so the whole time he's kind of goofing off, and Brenton actually called him out one time, which was kind of funny because in my flesh I was like, yes. And so he kind of got embarrassed and kind of finally stopped talking. And so, and I say that to say, like, I know that those kids are out there, but you know what? They need Jesus too. What if Ananias didn't go talk to Paul? You know, I know that God can do anything he wants. I know that he could have sent somebody else, but maybe he wouldn't have. What if nobody talks to that guy? What if nobody ever tells that guy that was at Huggins Camp about the gospel? What if his only shot was with Brenton? What if that guy that makes fun of God, what if the only shot you have, the only shot that that guy has or that girl has is you? Like, that's a serious responsibility that, you know, that God's given us. And I want to read Romans 1:16, which ironically Paul wrote, and it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why wasn't he ashamed? Because it was the power of God unto salvation. God's word is powerful. The gospel is the good news. It's powerful. Whenever you go tell someone about it, maybe they laugh at you. But deep down, God's going to work in their life. Maybe you don't know what God's going to do. You have no idea. And if God says that we need to go talk to someone, we need to not be ashamed. And we need to realize that the message we have is a powerful message. And it is a message that we need to share with everybody, even the guy who's probably going to laugh at you. And I want to encourage you guys of Isaiah 55:11. And it says, "So shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." So God's word, whenever you tell someone about the gospel, it's not going to return void. That means it's not going to go on deaf ears. And it may not, you know, he may not get saved at that immediate moment. That person may not accept Christ. And I think that's the problem. I think we as Americans these days, we want instant, like, gratification. I'm going to tell you the gospel. You're going to get saved. Everything's going to be great. And that's not always how it works. Sometimes you tell someone the gospel, and maybe he does make fun of you. Maybe it doesn't go well, but maybe a little later, he goes home and he thinks about it. And then someone a year or so later comes and tells him the gospel again, and he remembers what you said. And God strings a whole series of events together. Like, we don't know what God's doing in the background. But whenever God says, listen, you need to go and you need to tell someone about Jesus, we need to respond with, yeah, God, I'll do it. And if it's going to be awkward, and it might be, I'm going to do it anyways. If they're going to make fun of me, that's okay. I mean, just think of it this way. You're not going to have to worry about getting beaten. No one's probably going to bite you. You know, that's the stuff that's happening. That's the stuff that was happening in Paul's world. And so the last point is, Paul's encounter with the Lord left him changed forever. And so Paul's encounter, like, he was changed. I mean, we're going to talk a lot more about this next week. But Paul's encounter, I mean, he wasn't the same after he met with the Lord. And, you know, one of my favorite Bible verses is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And when you get saved, you're a new creature. And that's an awesome verse, because no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been in your life, God washes away our sins. God makes us a new creature. We get a new start. And like I said, his mercies are new every day. And when we're saved, we can run to him, and he wants to listen to us. And that's an amazing thing, guys. And I think sometimes we take it for granted. And I think sometimes we hear this verse all the time, and we like, yeah, we know that verse, and we don't think anything about it. And guys, God has made us a new creature. If you have a relationship with the Lord today, you are a new creature. You are not to live under the bondage of sin. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to fear sin and death, because God has taken care of all that stuff. And Romans 8:1-4 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And God took, you know, Paul was following after the law, and God took care of all that. We don't follow after the law. We follow after Christ. We don't have to live in sin. We don't have to live in our flesh. if we're saved, we're a new creature. We can live, you know, we can follow after the Spirit and have a fruitful life. And so another thing I want to point out is, and this is in your note as well, when you truly start following the Lord, people will notice. And so if you really have that encounter with the Lord, you really start following the Lord, you really start doing what the Lord says, you're really going to be obedient, guess what? People are going to notice. And things could change for you. Some of your good friends, they're going to start noticing, and they have an option. You know, maybe they're going to follow you, maybe they're not. Some of your Christian friends, if you really start following the Lord, you know what? Some of them are going to follow you and start serving the Lord with you, and some of them aren't. And that's a risk that Paul was willing to take. And I want to read Acts 9:19-23 and just see how Paul responded after his encounter with the Lord, and then see how his friends responded. Acts 9:19 says, "And then he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Paul certain days with the disciples which were in Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, and that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews and dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him." So Paul didn't waste any time going out and telling people about Jesus. Paul was changed. Paul knew what, you know, could you imagine you go from murdering Christians into persecuting Christians, persecuting God's people, and then you become one of them and you realize what God did in your life? I mean, think about all of our lives. If you have a relationship with the Lord, think about your life before. I mean, maybe you were a good person. Maybe you didn't do anything bad, but you were still a sinner separated from the Lord. And you cried out to God, and he made you a new creature. I mean, we should all be very thankful for that. But, I mean, sometimes I think we take that for granted. We just assume, okay, yeah, we're saved. You know, we got our fire insurance, and we're good to go. And, you know, we don't get as excited as we should. I mean, we are new creatures. God wiped away our sins. He separated them as far as the east is from the west. And yet, you know, we just keep living our life, you know, the way we want to live our life. But that's not what Paul did. It says Paul went out straightway. He preached Christ in the synagogues. He went to the very people that he knew used to be his friends. Because you know what? Number one, he knew he needed it. You know, he knew they needed him. You know, sorry, let me start over there. Paul knew that they needed Jesus. Yeah, thanks. Paul knew that they needed Jesus. But you know what? Some of these guys were his friends. You got to think, like, this isn't, you know, too much longer after he had just been, you know, going to persecute the people in Damascus. And he goes straight to the synagogue to tell his friends about Jesus. And they didn't respond too well. In fact, Acts 9:23 says, "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him." The very friends that he was persecuting Christians with, the very friends that he was probably doing his church thing with, the friends he hung out with, you know what? They saw that he was following the Lord, and they didn't want anything to do with him. And they took counsel to kill him. So all of a sudden, Paul had a drastic change. He had a very drastic 180 in his life. He went from persecuting and killing Christians to being the guy who they wanted to persecute and kill. And you know what, though? You can read about Paul's life, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. He never looked back. And Paul's life wasn't exactly easy, and we'll see that next week. But he never stopped serving the Lord. He never stopped being obedient to the Lord. And Isaiah 61:1 kind of describes, I think, what Paul and what we should be like. And Isaiah 61:1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And so once you get saved, you know what? The Spirit of God, it's in us. We have the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to tell people, and God wants us to go preach the good tidings. The gospel is good tidings. We have the key for people. We have the option for people who are in bondage, who are in sin, who are depressed, who are brokenhearted, who need the Lord. We have it, and we need to go tell people. And we need to look at Paul's life and realize, you know what? He went to do it. You know, Paul was just an obedient man. Like, once Paul started serving the Lord, he just did the next step. Like, God said do something, he went. I mean, you can see that in his missionary journeys. If God said, hey, you're not going to go there, you're going to go there. He said, okay, God, I'll go there. And Paul was always obedient to the Lord. And that's all God needs. He just needs someone who is willing to be obedient and willing to submit to his will and just do what he asks. Any of us could do that. And another thing, and the reason I really wanted to do this whole series was I was reading through Galatians, and I came across Galatians 1:23 and 24, and it says, "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorify God in me." And so Paul's talking about himself and talking about that people heard, you know, man, this guy used to persecute Christians, and now look at him. Now he's spreading the gospel. Now he's serving the Lord, and they glorify God in him. And listen, they're not glorifying Paul. They're glorifying God that he could take a guy who used to destroy Christians and he used to slaughter them, and he took a guy and transformed his life. And whenever you make that decision to just fully follow the Lord, when you come with that real encounter and you're just going to, no matter what, you're going to follow the Lord, people are going to notice, and you may lose friends. But you know what? Some people are going to look at you and they're going to say, man, something's different about that guy or girl. Something's different. And then you're going to have an opportunity to tell them about the Lord. And some of your friends are going to be encouraged. And some of your friends are going to look at you and be like, man, if he can do it and God can use him, they're going to ask you. And you can help them and you can encourage them. And so, you know, Paul started out pretty rough. And it turns out that, you know, he had an encounter with the Lord. And he just simply obeyed the Lord. And so I want to encourage you guys tonight. You just need to take the next step. What is your next step? You know, some of you guys, maybe you don't have a relationship with the Lord. Maybe, you know, and I keep saying that. I talk about being saved. So let me clarify what that is. You know, we're all sinners. Sin entered the world when Adam and Eve ate of the tree. God said, one thing you can't do, don't eat of this tree. You can have anything else. And so what they do, they did the one thing they weren't supposed to. And when that happened, sin entered into the world. They ate of the tree. And so because of that sin, it's all passed down to us. And we're born a sinner. There's nothing we can do to work our way to salvation. There's nothing we can do to get ourselves to God. There's no, like I said, there's no religious ceremony. There's no religious thing that we can do to get our way to God. But God loves us so much. That it's John 3:16. I mean, you see it in the end zones of football, the football fields. You see it all over the place. Tim Tebow used to put it on his eyes, his little eye black. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So God sent his only son to come to earth, live a perfect life, die on the cross, and be, rose again. And so, you know, all we have to do is cry out to God and understanding that, you know what, you are a sinner. And I don't think I have to convince any of you guys of that. I mean, it's pretty easy. We've all sinned. We've all lied. We've all done something. And just confess to him, you know what, Lord, I am a sinner. And I know that there's nothing I can do to get to heaven. I know that the only way that I can get to heaven is believing on your son and believing that he died and rose again for my sins. And I just want to give my life to you. And it's kind of an exchange. Christ gave his life for us, and in return, we give our life to him. And you can do that today. And if you have a question, let me encourage you. If there's some little voice inside of you that's saying, man, you should probably do that, or you should talk to someone about that, don't leave here tonight without talking to somebody. Come talk to me, talk to Kale, talk to one of the other counselors, and get that nailed down today. And some of you guys have come back from camp, and you're doing great. And let me just encourage you. You can be like Paul. All you have to do is, like I said, be obedient. Continue to be obedient to what God is telling you to do, and you can have a testimony like Paul. And some of you guys have come back from camp, and you haven't done so well. Well, if that's you, just cry out to the Lord. Just cry out to him. Repent, and today's the day. Turn it around and start living for the Lord. And you too, you can also be like Paul. You can have a testimony that Paul had. But you have to just listen to what the Lord's saying and take the next step. So I'm going to pray. The band can come up. And we're done. Dear Lord, I just love you so much. And I just thank you so much that you loved us so much that you sent your son. Thank you so much that you forgive us, that you forgive our iniquities, you forgive our sins, that you have compassion on us, and that your compassions are new daily, Lord. I just pray that if anybody's in this room and they don't have a relationship with you, Lord, I pray that they consider it. I pray that they will talk to somebody who either brought them or come talk to me, talk to Kale or somebody, and that they will nail that down today. And I pray for those of us who you know, they may be struggling, Lord. I pray that you work in their life and that that they will repent and that they will live a life that is holy and honoring to you, Lord. And those of us in this room, you know, that are doing well, I pray that you just can use Paul's life as an encouragement, and that they can see that an ordinary person can just simply obey the Lord and live for him, and they can do great things, Lord. And we just love you so much. Thank you for this night. Amen.